weeks ago, Pastor Sean started a new series, How to Step into Your Destiny. And he gave us an introduction to the book of Joshua and what was happening and encouraged us to step in to God's promises. And if you miss this message at all, you can just go to YouTube and go to Life You See, and you'll be able to pick up the message so that you can keep in the flow of what we're doing. And there's also a brilliant series on Right Now Media on the book of Joshua by Pastor Louis Giglio. And I would love to say this morning that everything I'm going to share is just great revelations I've got from the book of Joshua, but a lot of the credit has to go to Pastor Louis, and that there are some things that are mine, but a lot goes to Pastor Louis, and I just want to give him that because it was a great series and that. So today I'm going to continue on to how to step into your destiny by encouraging you to step into God's plan. And you may recall from when we've been speaking before that God had shown Moses, who was leading the Israelites to the promised land, he had shown Moses the promised land from Mount Nebo. However, Moses was never going to go into the promised land. Joshua was going to be the one that was going to do that. But Moses was died and was buried at Mount Nebo. So the first step to be able to step into God's plan is have confidence in God's ability. Have confidence in God's ability. Let's look at Joshua 1, verses 1 to 3. After the death of Moses, the servant of God, the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give you, to the Israelites. Give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. So God's plan for Joshua was that he lead God's people into the promised land. And it was a land filled with milk and with honey, but it was also filled with fortified cities and armies. But God says to Joshua in Joshua 1, verse 9, be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord God will be with you wherever you go. God knows our makeup. He knows what we're like. And he's giving him forewarning, but he's saying, I'm going to be with you wherever you go. God comes through again and again. In Isaiah chapter 25, verse 2, it says, O Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you. I will praise your name, for you have done wonderful things, plans formed from old, faithful and sure. Well, first they had to cross the Jordan River. They had come out of the desert and the season was over. And now they were coming into the Jordan River and then into the promised land. And you know, in your life, there may be seasons where you're coming out of a season and you're coming into a new season. Perhaps it's college, university, your work, friendships, relationships, marriage, children, navigating older parents, and navigating the death of loved ones. That's just to name a few. In Psalm 121, verse 8, God gives us a lovely promise that the Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. And God knows all that is going to happen in your life, well before you do. And when you have a relationship with him, you can be sure that he is watching over every breath that you take, every decision you make, all the seasons of your coming out and all the seasons of your going in. He is with you. Joshua 1 verse 5 says, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we see from the verses that we've read that God's plan at this particular time was for Joshua to lead the people. God knew he could trust Joshua. He had been Moses' aide and he'd followed God with all his heart. But the big question is, when we're looking at God's plan for our life, can God trust you? Can God trust you? The same way I was with Moses, I'm going to be with you, God says. The same way I was with Joshua, I'm going to be with you. This is how God works. He is here for you. Same God in Joshua's story is the same God who is in your story. Oh, you may not be leading a whole nation across a river and taking land, But we don't need to have a big title or be in charge of a whole stack of things. We just need to be courageous and faithful in our story. In Joshua 1, verse 7, it says, "Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go." That is something to note very carefully. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. That's where we all come unstuck. We don't obey the law. Do not turn from it from the right or to the left, that you may have success wherever you go. He makes it pretty clear. Sometimes we humans are just a little bit stupid. And there's so many temptations to take the shortcut in our situations, isn't it? Not wait for God's timing or to do things in a different way because we think we know better, contrary to God's word. We think we've got a better way than God. Duh. But all it does is show us that we don't have confidence in God's ability and we leave him out of the picture. It's called sin. We weren't created to leave God out of the picture. He wants us to be reliant on him for our sakes, not for his sake, for our sakes, because he does know best and the outcome will be far better than anything that we could have thought of. Louis Giglio says, "Courage is the confidence in God's ability, even in the face of our own uncertainty in our own ability or the circumstances that are around us." And you know, there's many things that I go to do, many that I'm like, I just can't do this. Like, what am I going to do? But my confidence in God's ability in and through me is far greater than my feelings. And he has never, ever let me down. Even with preaching, you would know that every time I've got to get up, I'm nervous. Day before, oh, here we go. But I know that I can do it, not because I'm fabulous, because I know God is with me and it's him working through me. And sometimes I just feel like, well, not sometimes, all the time. Whatever I'm saying comes out of my mouth, hits this wall, boom. And then it goes out to you anointed and then God gets you to hear what he wants you to say. It's not about my words. It's about what God is doing. And when you're in relationship with God, he is not going to let you down. Every day we need to say and believe God's ability is enough for me today. Why don't we say that now? God's ability is enough for me today. We need to be able to confess that and believe it. So how do you step into your destiny? Step into God's plan. First thing, have confidence in God's ability. Next thing is, set yourselves apart for God. The Israelites are now about to cross the river, and all of us have some river that we have to step in and cross, isn't it? Perhaps it's a new direction in life. Perhaps a new course in life that you're taking. A specific ministry God wants you to be involved in. Perhaps a new relationship. Perhaps ending a toxic relationship or going back repairing a broken relationship before you can move forward. The Israelites didn't come to the river and go, oh, wow, let's go over the river, we're here. Joshua had them camp near the river for 3 days. God always has a plan. In Joshua 3, verse 5, we see Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. To wake up each day and set ourselves apart fully for God is his plan for our life. And to say, here I am, God, every morning to wake up, here I am, God. This is so important in life. We need to keep short accounts with God and keep our hearts clean before him, to keep our minds ready. You say, why do we need to keep our minds ready? Because God may do something absolutely amazing today when you wake up that you are going to talk about for the rest of your life. And if you aren't sharp and on the ball, you are going to miss it, totally miss it. Joshua 3, verses 15 to 16. Now the Jordan is at flood stage all during harvest. Yet as soon as the priests who carried the ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap a great distance away at a town called Adam. The water's backing up was a sign to them that God would deliver them from all their enemies in the land ahead. And he was giving them confidence that what was ahead of them, that he's come through again for them again and again and again. He was with them, and God is with you no matter what is happening in your life. God is with you. He hasn't gone anywhere. God's plan always won't make sense in the natural. Gosh, who can testify to that? What on earth are you doing, God? What? But God knows what he's doing. Proverbs 16 verse 9 says, within your heart you can make plans for the future, but the Lord chooses the steps you get to take, you take to get there. If you want to see God move powerfully in your life, just take a step. Step in. God's not looking for heroism. He's looking for faith and your confidence in him. And God likes to make big statements, big parting, backing up of water. He is confirming that he is leading you to do all that he wants you to do. How do you step into your destiny? Step into God's plan. Firstly, have confidence in God's ability. Next thing, set yourselves apart for God. Third thing, remember. Everyone now had crossed the river, but the priests are still in the water. And they were to get 12 stones out of the Jordan River and build an altar as a remembrance of faith, of the faithfulness of God. Joshua 4 verses 2 to 3 says, choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe, and tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from right where the priests stood, and to carry them over with you and put them down at the place where you stay tonight. One of the very powerful words God wants us to know is remember. Remember to have confidence in God's ability, even in the face of our own uncertainty in our own ability or the circumstances that are around us. In the New Testament, in the Bible, we read when Jesus was with his disciples at the Last Supper and he was sharing communion with them, and he said, do this in remembrance of me. God is constantly telling us through Scripture, remember, remember, remember. Remember is the fuel of faith, fuel for our confidence in God. Fuel for our future is remembering what God has done in the past. Psalm 33 verse 11 says, the counsel of the Lord stands forever. The plans of his heart are to all generations. Is there an altar you need to remember? Is there a time you need to go back and remember how God came through for you? Is there something God is doing now and you need to build an altar so you'll always remember what he is doing for you? Perhaps you're stretching for the future, but you need to go back to the past to remember how God came through for you. Psalm 37 verses 23 to 24. When people's steps follow the Lord, God is pleased with their ways. If they stumble, they will not fall, because the Lord holds their hands, and the Lord holds your hands. He holds your hands. He is with you. How do you step into your destiny? Step into God's plan. Have confidence in his ability. Set yourselves apart for God. Remember. And this one, leave your secret at the altar. I've skipped over a few things and I'm skipping forward now because there's a lot of other areas that will be covered by Pastor Sean and Pastor Danielle in the coming weeks. I didn't want to steal their thunder. Joshua and the Israelites have now crossed over the Jordan River. They've built their altar to God to thank him and made it a place of remembrance, and have seen God come through for them in victory over the residing enemy. The walls of the city of Jericho have fallen, and God gives the Israelites clear instructions what to do. Joshua 6, verses 17 to 19. The city and all that is in it are to be devoted to the Lord. Only Rahab the prostitute and all who are with her in her house shall be spared, because she hid the spies we sent. But keep away from the devoted things, so that you will not bring about your own destruction by taking any of them. Otherwise, you will make the camp of Israel liable to destruction and big trouble on all of it. All the silver and gold and the articles of bronze and iron are sacred to the Lord and must go into his treasury. God had said to totally destroy Jericho and its people, except for Rahab and her family, and also not to take any loot for themselves, except that which was reserved for the Lord's treasury. However, unbeknown to Joshua, Achan from the tribe of Judah had taken some of the loot for himself. The Lord was not pleased. So Joshua, not knowing this, they've taken Jericho and it's all great victory there. He sends out a few men to suss out the next town called Ai. And it was much smaller than Jericho and didn't seem to even be such a big challenge. And so the soldiers go out to fight, but they're greatly defeated. And Joshua and the elders of Israel tore their clothing and lay prostrate before the ark of the Lord until evening with dust on their heads. They couldn't understand why God hadn't delivered Ai into their hands. What Joshua and all the people of Israel didn't know, except for one person, Achan, was that Achan had disobeyed God and taken some of the loot for himself and buried it beneath his tent. No one knew. How would anybody know? God knew. He do. When we sin by fulfilling the desires of our flesh, we are saying to God, you're not enough. I don't trust you to be enough. I'm going to do things my way. And the biggest deception of it all is that people think they can handle or manage their sin, their addiction, their behavior, and they actually can't see that they end up hurting others terribly in the process. They just can't see it. And I've seen people over the years lie to my face when I've asked them about something. No, no, no. And I know they're doing wrong. And I'm trying to help them, like, come on. And that, and they just lied to me. No, 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 I'm not doing that. No, no, I'm fine, this sort of thing. And it's obvious they do. And the awful part is that they hurt those who love them the most. Because when you start sinning, deception comes into play. And when deception comes, it's almost like someone's thrown a blanket over you. And you just become so numb. You don't even realize what you're doing. The awful thing is everyone else knows. And they can see it. God has an amazing way of exposing people's secrets much later in their life. And not only are the lives and their careers in tatters, but they destroy their families' lives as well, and sometimes even churches and ministries. And this should not be happening. This should not be happening in our nation or in our world. My grandfather, regrettably, had a drinking problem. He lost a high position in the company he worked for, often drove the family home in the car while intoxicated, and quietly spent his retirement years drinking in the garage at the back of the home in Melbourne. It was very sad for my grandmother and my mum. And I didn't know this at the time, but no wonder mum had a fit when I was gifted a whole stack of alcohol as a Christmas gift from my employers at the time. It wasn't this church, as my employers at the time. And she didn't want me to even bring it in the home. I mean, she just went rank about it. And I'm like, what's the problem with mum? But I didn't know that at the time. And it had such an effect on them as a family. And I must admit, when we went to visit them in Melbourne, he must have been read the riot act, because when my sister and I went to visit him, and that he was as good as gold and he was driving us everywhere. So it's just a minor thing. But anyway, that's what happened as a result of that. It affected the whole family. And if you're in the public eye, you want to give people something to aspire to, not be an embarrassment because you're caught off guard. If you think evil isn't wanting to take you down, you need to get a reality check. Honestly. You think you have your secret under control. Oh no, baby, it is coming back to bite you. It is coming back to bite you. Don't work out how to have it under control. Get rid of it out of your life, whatever it is. You can't afford to hurt and worry those around you, knowing you may destroy their lives in the process, ministries and the generations to come. I am firmly of a conviction that God is doing something new, definitely doing something new and something fresh. And we do not want sin in our church. We don't sin in our nation. We don't want sin in our world. We want God to be able to come here and go, I can work through Life Unlimited Church. These people are set apart for me. These people are doing my work. They're obeying me. I can move them and I can trust them. And we don't want to find people are holding on to things in their lives that are stopping the move of God. Because, as I say, if you're hiding a secret, it will come back. It will come back and it'll bite you hard and it'll take a lot of people with it. But don't get me wrong here. God isn't saying, you bad person, how could you do that? That's not his heart. He is always here loving you, knowing what harm you're going to get yourself into the future down the track. And he so wants the best for you and to bring out the best in your life and for you to live victoriously in freedom. He is here for you. That's why he wants you to bring your secret out to the altar. One person's sin, Achan, had a devastating effect on the whole of the Israelites. Deception told him it was just a bit of loot. Who would notice? The actual loot wasn't the problem. The reality was he disobeyed a holy God who doesn't want his people contaminated in any way in life because he desires the best for you and me. You need to consecrate yourself afresh to God and open up to trusted friends who can help you. Leave the sin at the altar of God and never pick it up again. God is looking for people who are wholeheartedly love him and follow his ways totally. Romans 12, 1 to 2. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and a holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Once Achan's sin was exposed, his whole family, animals, and all he owned was put to death. Because Achan got his eyes off God and got it on stuff, he forgot about the 12 stones to remind him of God's ability and his faithfulness in every part of his life. God wants you to be honest with him and bring that sin to him and put it on the altar. God wants to bring you to a place of healing and wholeness. God wants you to take him seriously. He is a holy God. Take off your shoes because you are standing on holy ground. No matter what wonderful things you are doing for God, whoa, it is never priority over you dealing with the sin in your life and trusting God again. Once Achan and his family are wiped out, the people of Israel are restored to a position of being set apart for God. And they proceeded forth in victory as they invaded the promised land God had brought them to. Deal with your sin so you can move on into what God has promised for you. Now God wants to take them back to Ai, and this time he has promised them victory. And God had a plan, and it was a good one. Basically, they ambushed Ai from behind. Ai didn't know what hit them. And there was a great victory, and there was, as there was, over all the land that God had promised them. How do you step into your destiny? Step into God's plan. Have confidence in God's ability. Set yourselves apart for God. Remember and leave your secret at the altar. Could I have the worship team come, please? God wants to connect with you every day, not just to have you go on autopilot. Oh, I know how to do this. I don't need to ask God into my life every day and invite him to be part of my day. Every day, God wants to be a vital part of your day. How would you like me to do Thursday, God? That meeting, that upcoming trip, that late night conversation. Include him in your day. You know, as I've been studying the book of Moses over the last fortnight, I've really taken this point to heart. And instead of every morning at the end of my devotions, sincerely saying, God, I commit my day to you, I've been far more intentional this last fortnight. And I say, Holy Spirit, I invite you into my day, every aspect of my day. I don't want to go through the same routine, expect the same things. I haven't been this way before. Live this day, and I want you to be part of everything I do, everything I think, and the people I interact with. I want to be part of your plan. My gosh, this last fortnight has been amazing. It's just been amazing. And I think we might be shocked at how willing God is to be a part of our day. How inventive, how clever, having a personally designed plan for every part of our lives because he wants us to stay connected to him. He wants to give us wisdom and discernment and creative ways to succeed in this world for what he has called us to do. Jeremiah 29 verse 11, most of you will know this. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and to give you a hope. And you know, this all comes down to being in relationship with God. Perhaps you realize your life hasn't turned out at all the way you thought it would be. Your plan hasn't been working, and it's time to try things God's way and start a relationship with him. That's been God's plan all along. It's nice and simple. He created you because he wants to connect with you. He wants to be in relationship with you and for you to be able to help others to connect with him. When generations before us gave up on God and left him out of the picture, sin became rampant and they separated themselves from him. And God had actually regretted that he had created us. But true to his nature, his love for all generations, then and now, so great was his love, he couldn't sit back and just do nothing. It's not in God's nature. He gave us his only son, Jesus. He came to us as a human baby on earth and grew to show mankind the heart of his Father and his Father's kingdom. Jesus also came to die on a cross to pay the price for mankind's sins, yours and mine, once and for all, so that God's total forgiveness, grace and mercy would be released in our life. And he was also came to be raised to life again by his heavenly Father to prove that he had the power over death and that life can be yours, not just now, but for eternity. God's heart is for you to know that you belong. He wants to help you be the best version of you you could ever be as you fulfill his plans for your life. And for you to know that you are greatly, greatly loved. He will always have your back, even in the hard times. Even when you don't even feel like you can sense him, he's there. He says, let's do life together. He wants to do life together with you. And all you have to do is simple. Be genuinely sorry for what you have done. Ask God to forgive you and ask him into your life. You can live a life where you can so totally trust him to help you and guide you into the destiny and plan he has always had waiting for you.